All right, this is the third day of November already, 2019, the year of our Lord at Zion Baptist Church. We'll take our first verse of reading this morning from Exodus 15:11. Title of the message today is The Solitariness of God. And when it says he is solitaire, that means he stands in need of nothing. No one, no creature, no human, no anybody. He's solitaire. And that is a attribute that we give God that also is pointed out in the scriptures in many places. And Exodus 15:11 says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Now, when we talk about God today, we know that the Bible says that our God is one God. I am the Lord thy God, one God. Even though God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, he's one God. And the very beginning, well, let's pray. Our God, we thank you for this wonderful day, this Lord's Day that we have to come and worship thee, join ourselves with the saints in fellowship, and come and have communion with our God. Join our hearts together in prayer for those that are sick and afflicted. To join our souls in prayer to lift up the mighty name of our great God. Lord, to worship thee and to praise thee. To sing psalms and hymns unto thee. To declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To have our souls fed by the word of God. Help us now, O Lord, we pray this day. Help your people. Let your word, the reading of your word, be a blessing to them, may be helpful to them in their daily walk. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. I guess the best place to start here is in the beginning, because that's what it says. In the beginning, God.
Amen.
You know, we could stop right there and go to the house or have communion. Because that says it. That says it. In the beginning, God. Now, if there is something that you could call time before the beginning, and I don't think you can, because there was no time. God is everlasting. He's eternal. He always has been. He always will be. And before the beginning, he was all alone. There was not a universe. There was not any angels. There was no heaven where he manifested his glory. There was no earth. There was nothing. In the beginning, God. There was no lights. There was no stars. There was nothing but God. And he was alone. He had no need of angels. He had no need of creatures. He had no need of the stars or the sun or the moon or any of the other things. He didn't need any of that. And that was from everlasting.
Amen.
It wasn't like a day or two or a year or two. It was from everlasting. No beginning and no end. And the Bible makes it very clear that God is solitaire. And I noticed that All three hymns that we sung today were written by Fanny Crosby. I believe they were. Yeah. Was that last one written by Fanny Crosby too? And there are some wonderful hymns written by Fanny Crosby that does a good scriptural understanding of us singing the things of God. The creation of the universe added nothing to God.
Amen.
The Bible says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. That means He's perfect in every way, and He always has been and always will be. You can't add anything to Him. You can't take anything from Him. He's God.
That's right.
He changes not. And in the creation of human beings, the creation of angels, and the creation of the universe, or universes, whatever it is, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and all that there is, the Bible makes very clear why God created those. In Ephesians 1:11, said He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. All things. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. He did not need angels. They didn't add anything to God. He didn't need us to worship Him. That adds nothing to God. Not one thing. God is no gainer from our worship. Nehemiah chapter 9. And you can turn to Ephesians chapter 1 if you would. Ephesians chapter 1. And let me finish reading that little piece there that I started reading. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. And that adds nothing to God. He does not gain anything from our worship and our praise of Him. He is not a gainer by anything that we can do. We are finite creatures. He is an infinite creature. He always has been, and He always will be. Verse 5 of that same chapter, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. God does everything according to His own counsel. He did not ask us any advice whatsoever before He created us. He right. did not need our advice.
That's right.
He still does not need our advice. We need His. We need Him. And over in Romans chapter 11, Let me hold off on that one right now. I think I've got that out of place here. I want that over here toward the end. We'll look at that just a little later. Job chapter 35. Job chapter 35. Verse 7. If thou be righteous, what givest thou him? Or what receiveth he of thine hand? Thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man, but he gains nothing from it. He is no gainer. It does not affect God one way or the other. He changes not. If he loved you from everlasting, he still loves you today.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. If you were one of his chosen before the foundation of the world, you're still one of his chosen today.
Amen.
He changes not. What you do or don't do has no effect on God. He's still God.
Amen.
And he doeth as he pleases. Our obedience has profited God nothing. Now I know we like to think sometimes that we are getting pretty good and we live pretty good lives and we do better than most people, and anything that you've got is by the grace of God. If he just looks the other way, if he just turns his face a little bit, you'd return back to your sin like a hog does slop. You'd go right back to it. You are kept by the power and the grace of God, and that alone.
That's right.
It ought to keep us very humble, especially when we come to have our Lord's Supper. We ought to remember that it's only by the grace of God that we are what we are. It certainly is nothing to us. Our obedience has not profited God anything. Psalm, just turn over there from Job a little bit further to Psalm chapter 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. And that is only by the grace of God. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee. Now this whole psalm here is of Christ. Is of our Lord and Savior. But to the saints that are on the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight, their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offering of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The point I wanted to point out to you is that my goodness extendeth not to thee. Now it is God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son. One God. One God. I'm afraid sometimes we may forget that. One God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God. Now, A.W. Pink got a little bold in his book on this chapter of the solitariness of God and said that at all the things that Christ did while he was on this earth added nothing to God. I thought, whew, that's strong words. That's strong words. All that Christ did while he was on this earth added nothing to God. You think about that a minute. Because he said, I change not. I'm already perfect in every way. In my holiness and my praises and everything about me, I'm perfect in every way. I change not. You can't add anything to me. Nobody. If he changed, they would have been something that wasn't right to start with. He cannot change. I change not, he says. God only is the Blessed One. God only is the Blessed One. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. He's talking about the servant. Starting at verse 5 there. He said, Lord, increase our faith, the apostles did. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye might say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye. When you have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. God is the only Blessed One. We are His servants. And we should be grateful and thankful that we're able to serve Him in any small way and in any way that we can. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 22 and 23. Let's read 21 also. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, and stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. That kind of sets us in our place, doesn't it? That sets us in our place and lets us know who is who. First Timothy chapter 6. I give thee charge, verse 13, in the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
That kind of puts us where we belong. That puts us where we belong. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. That's our God. That's our God.
Amen.
We can't even approach him. Can't see him. Never will see him. But Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He is solitary in his majesty, unique in his excellency, perfect in every way. And such a God cannot be found out by searching. Such a God cannot be found out by searching. I guess there's people that's read this book from front to back that are yet lost in their sins and know him not. You cannot find out the God from 1 Timothy 6, verses 13 and 15 and 16. You cannot find out that God by searching. The Lord Jesus told us real plain. He must be revealed to you by God the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus revealing his Father to you, and the Father revealing the Son to you, and the Holy Spirit revealing them both to us, for he lives and dwells within us. You must be born from above, John 3:3 says. You must be born from above by the Spirit of the living God. And that's the only way you can find him out, or even the little bit that we can find out about him. It must be revealed to you. It must be revealed to you. God is a spirit, John 4:24 says. God is a spirit. Now let's go to Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. That puts us where we belong. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
You must be born from above. Except a man be born by the Spirit of the living God, he is yet lost in his sins, and he knows him not. So it says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Cannot receive those things from the Spirit of the living God. A carnal man cannot. A worldly man. A lost man. He cannot receive those things from the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. That's the reason Christianity is declining in these United States. People are yet lost in their sins. They're trying to get to God some other way. But you must be born from above. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It is all by the Spirit of the living God that liveth within us. It is by the power of God that he births a man, a supernatural power that comes over a man, and he's born from above by the Spirit of God. It's not just something that you accept. It's not because of a decision that you made. It is all by the Spirit of the living God. We can do nothing except it be given to us of God. We can't do anything. It's got to be given to us by God before we can do anything. And it's only by the grace of God. This is something else that carnal people do not know anything about. Most churchgoers don't know anything about. Because, one, they don't read the book. And they don't hunger and thirst. Peter said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. That's good stuff. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the only way you can do that is if he reveals himself to you. That's the reason just reading the book's not going to get it. You got to read the book with much prayer and with much desire to know him and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can learn about him. You can learn things about him from reading the book. But you can't learn him. You cannot grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ just by reading the book. There must be a supernatural revelation from the Spirit of God. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Oh, our God, help us this day now as we come to the Lord's table. Have mercy and forgive us of our sins. Help us to confess our sins daily, even hourly. Lord, that we confess our sins before thee, the true and the living God. And help us now as we come to partake of the Lord's table. Remind us and give us a fresh view and a fresh look at the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, who suffered in our room instead, that we might have His righteousness imputed on our behalf. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.